It's time for a Real Good Words interview on the Monday Morning Show. Does the date February 9th, 1964 mean anything to you? Sure does to Trudy Mixer. She's the main character in the new young adult book, She Loves You. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It also does to best-selling author Anne Hood, who wrote the book, and she joins us now. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Heidi. It's appropriate we're talking today is Paul McCartney's birthday.
Oh,
my gosh.
I did not know that. You would know that because I want you to take us back to February 9th, 1964. What did it mean to you?
Well, you know, not unlike my main character and She Loves You, Yeah, 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 Trudy, I had tonsillitis that day and was miserable, sick in bed, and my slightly older cousin Debbie, who always knew everything, you know, she was that person you wanted to learn from, marched into my bedroom in my sick bed and said, "You have to watch this," and turned on my little black and white portable TV. It was like the size of a microwave. And Ed Sullivan came on. You know, we usually watched him on Sunday nights. He had this big variety show. And then these four guys with shaggy hair and collarless suits appeared on the screen and began to sing, and my life changed. They were, of course, the Beatles. Cousin Debbie had heard them on the AM radio station. I was not old enough to be doing that yet, but I fell in love. And that night, they put their names, as each one had a close-up. You know, Ringo, George, Paul, and John. And under John, it said, "Sorry, girls, he's married." And the crowd groaned, but I didn't care because I was in love with Paul.
Why Paul?
Oh, you know, this has gotten me into trouble my whole life, Heidi, because I always go for the cute one. He just was adorable. He had those big bedroom eyes and this dazzling grin, and he shook his head like nobody else. And, of course, in subsequent shows, he sang Yesterday on a, you know, alone, like with a shadow and the guitar, and he just spoke to me in a way no one had before. You know, I think that's one of the great things about boy bands. They're your first safe crush.
So you write a book about Trudy, who is smitten by the Beatles and by Paul, and she develops a Beatles fan club at her school. And how old would Trudy be?
Trudy's 10 in the book.
Oh, my gosh. And that begins for her an adventure.
Yes, it does. Well, you know, I wish I had the gumption Trudy did and that I had started a Beatles fan club. When she begins hers, it's very cool to like the Beatles. But 2 years later, girls are entering middle school and maybe looking at other things. Some have even done the terrible thing of falling for the Rolling Stone.
Right.
She is determined to get her cool status back, even though the only ones left in the fan club with her are the kind of outcasts of the school. Think the Breakfast Club, if you know that movie. She's sort of with that group. And she decides that if she can meet the Beatles, and in particular Paul McCartney, her life will get back on track. And so she schemes all summer to do that.
You know, I could just feel that time. I wasn't around for the Beatles, but it's the same. I think it's probably the same now too, of when girls at that age, you may be, you know, some girls are kind of wanting to hold on to being a little kid, and some girls are wanting to be a lot older. And sometimes your best friend makes a different decision than you do.
Yeah, there's that break often, you know, around the age of 12 or I don't know, maybe now it's a little younger, where you start realizing that some kids are going toward boys and makeup and clothes, and others are holding on to the things that made them feel good and safe. I mean, eventually they'll catch up again, perhaps, but there's that strange time. My daughter's 14, and I can see it, you know, with her and her friends, you know, who's sort of moving in one direction and who's not quite moving there yet.
We're talking with New York Times bestselling author Anne Hood. She has a new book that's coming out next week, I think. She loves.
Yeah, it's available for pre-order, but it's technically next week.
Okay. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. And I read the book on Father's Day, and I was intrigued by Trudy's father. I mean, this image of a man sitting at the dinner table behind the, was it the New York Times or Wall Street Journal?
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. And her insecurity of knowing she's connected to her dad by the, because they both like the Beatles, but he's distant.
Yes. Well, you know, I think that that's kind of typical of fathers back then. I mean, we, lucky us, we live in the age of dads who are, you know, at their children's birth even and do, you know, help with diapers and, you know, very hands-on, you know, they're playing soccer or coaching soccer with their kids. But back in the 60s when I was a kid, dads went to work and came home and ate dinner and either disappeared into the den to watch TV or disappeared into their office to finish work. It was a little bit different. The thing I love about her dad, though, is he's a great dad for that era. You know, he gets her Beatles tickets. They listen to albums together. He's as present as he can be. And she actually kind of adores him, though he frustrates her. But she's at the age where all adults are frustrating her.
So, you know, I know why you personally wanted, you know, wrote about the Beatles and this era in American history. But why more broadly do you think that part of our history is important and that you wanted to set it then?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that just this morning, maybe in anticipation of our conversation. But, you know, before the Beatles came, remember, we had three channels on TV. We were listening to groups like the Four Seasons or the Beach Boys or someone like Elvis Presley, about as American as you could get.
The New Christy Minstrels?
Yeah, remember them?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Right.
I mean, it was like folk music. And it was just the Beatles arrived from this foreign place called Liverpool, and it was so exotic. They had come across the ocean. I mean, they really marked a change in how we heard music and who we got it from. They looked different than everybody here. They sounded different when they spoke. They had those great Liverpool accents, and I think it marked the beginning of sort of an internationalism of kids opening their arms and their ears and their hearts to someone different and far away. And it really changed. It really was a mark in the change that stayed forever, I think.
And you also, the change was about what was happening on the West Coast in terms of the developing community we called hippies.
Yes, absolutely. You know, everybody that we listened to wore ties, even like folk rock, folk groups had on ties. The Beatles come in with those collarless suits, no ties, those, we used to call them Beatles boots. You know, they're technically called Chelsea boots, but those kind of ankle boots, they looked very renegade. And they were always slightly ahead of the trend. And you're right, they brought in hippies, they brought in psychedelic music eventually. So they were the trendsetters. And I really think it had to do with the water in Liverpool.
Well, so Trudy Mixer, she's your main character that has this love of Paul, just like you. And I think when things really start to go downhill for her is when there's a substitute teacher and she calls her by her given name, Gertrude, which is terrible for her. How do you come upon names like this? Did Gertrude Mixer just pop into your head?
You know, I have to admit that I have a cat named Gertrude. And, you know, you know how your beloved pets get nicknames? Well, we started calling her Gertie. And the other option was to call her Trudy. And I thought, oh, isn't that funny? I have a friend named Trudy. I didn't realize her name might be Gertrude. But I can see why I didn't know that. That might not be a name, she's my age, you know, that a kid wanted. And it just all kind of fell together from there that you can have a very cute name that hides the real, perhaps, name of your grandmother. And so Gertrude just came in, and I don't know, Mixer just came with me. It just fell together, Trudy Mixer. I like the sound of it. So you work pretty hard on names, but sometimes there's a little magic in them, which Trudy had. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what could be worse than being outed on what your real name is when you're trying to be cool? And it's the least cool name in the school.
So let's talk a little bit about the quest that Trudy has and where she wants to go. Tell us what her biggest desire becomes that summer.
Well, her biggest desire is to meet Paul McCartney, which she had been harboring secretly anyway. But her dad gets her tickets to the concert. This happens to be their last concert tour. No one knew that at the time, but 1966 was their last tour. And they're coming to Boston, and she lives in Rhode Island, like I did and still do. And so she thinks, this is great, I'm going to go see the Beatles. And then a series of things happen. Her father has to be away on a business trip to Japan. Her mother's going to take her, but breaks her leg. And she gets the bad news, you can't go to the concert. But to her, not going to that concert will seal her role as loser of the school. And so she begins to scheme with the three other members of the fan club to see the Beatles and to get their autographs after the concert. It requires an awful lot. They have to take a bus to Boston from Providence, which is about an hour away. They have to navigate the subway system, which none of them have ever been on the subway. They have to get not only to the concert, but then to the hotel where they have found out the Beatles are staying. So it takes an awful lot, and she makes plans that she has to keep revamping.
And no cell phones to check in with your parents.
Right. No cell phones. And, you know, I didn't write about what the mother is thinking when Trudy says she's with her girlfriend overnight, and that girlfriend says she's with Trudy. I guess the mother is just blissfully nursing her broken leg while these kids are having quite an adventure.
And you were very descriptive about that cast. Having had a cast in that era, I know the journey of the stick or the knitting needle to scratch.
Oh.
And the smell.
I never had one, but I was always jealous. Isn't that funny? Like, when you're a kid, you want the braces and the cast, but not really. But.
So what do you hope for readers of today that would have cell phones if they did sneak away to go to a concert? What do you hope young readers now get from learning about this era?
You know, I so wanted to bring this era to life. Heidi, I didn't really have to do much research. I did it more to confirm my memory, because to me and to young readers who, when they get older, this time is going to be so set for them. But the songs, the way we dressed, the way things looked, our lack of technology, you know, how if we wanted to get somewhere, we could just say, Mom, I'll be back, and walk. You know, she walks almost a mile to visit one of her friends. This was how we lived, and I wanted to bring that to life. But I think more importantly, I wanted to remind everybody, even the parents of kids who might read this, what it was like to be in middle school and crush on someone, and how important it was to be liked and accepted and to have friends and to have dreams, because really it's about Trudy going after her dreams.
And the other thing about the book, I think, is that is universal and applies to this time, is behind the veneer of those young kids, there's a story, and we can't make assumptions. There's a story of a personal struggle or joy, but there's a story.
Absolutely. Trudy learns that these three kids who she doesn't want to be friends with at the start all have something going on, just like she does. Deep dreams, fears, desires, and they each have their own reason for wanting to meet the Beatles that gets revealed on the quest.
So, Anne, do you still listen to the Beatles?
Almost every day. I'm embarrassed to say. When I moved a few years ago, and when I moved, I bought a turntable. And so my daughter, who I said is, as I said, is 14, our favorite album is Help. And sometimes we just look at each other and say, it's time to put it on. It might be when I'm cooking. It might be when we just come in from, you know, picking her up at school. But that has become our favorite album. It's interesting. I wouldn't have said that before, you know, getting this turntable again. But that's the one we play the most.
Huh. Anne Hood's newest book is for young adults. It's called She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. And it's going to be on sale June 26th. Anne, it was great to talk to you. Have fun talking Beatles with this book.
Thank you so much. Happy birthday, Paul, if you're listening.
Thanks. You're listening to the Monday Morning Show. This Real Good Words interview is made possible in part by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.